Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binge Town TV. This is Kathleen, and I'm here with Julia to chat Survivor 45, episode 7, titled The Thorn in My Thumb, said by Keturah about who else other than Bruce, who she hates more than anyone in the world.
Papa Bruce, Uncle Papa Bruce. He's both my father and my uncle these days.
Okay, let's get right into how we felt about the episode. I, for one, loved this episode. I thought it was fast-paced, finally. Like, even with a 90-minute episode, I thought it was fast-paced with the immunity slash reward challenge, two tribals, with which meant double deliberation. And genuinely, I thought like the tribals could go either way, even though I had a feeling where it would lean. It was still like, you know, someone could surprise me. I just thought this was a cool episode. It was fun. I was having a good time.
I was having a great time until Tribal Council. I think like it was the anticipation and like the what could be of it all that made it so great. And then I think that the material they had to work with as far as like what actually went down in Tribal Council was pretty.
We can get right into it. One, the directing of this episode was so different and interesting, and we couldn't stop talking about it during the episode. Julia couldn't watch with us last night, but we watched with the rest of the
Survivor Squad. What were you saying?
Well, for me, it felt like there were certain moments that like Jake would be talking in complete silence, like narrating something, but it's all silent. And then it would get to the song, which felt new to me. I'll have to show you what I mean, because it's like I was clocking it on both watches that I did. And then two, of course, the Tribal Council, like,
yeah,
scene they did, which is the first I've ever seen like that. It was easy enough to know, like, okay, D is obviously voting for Caleb. Caleb's voting for Mama J. So we can foreshadow that without spoiling it. So they did like a little foreshadow storytelling, which apparently blew Jeff Probst's mind.
I did not care for it at all. First of all, I thought that I was glitching out because I did not watch live. I watched recorded and I was like, oh my God, my thing skipped to the end. I literally thought like it skipped. It like took me live while it was like still happening or still airing. So I was like, what the fuck? No, I did not like it. And I'll tell you why, because even if we can guess to the best of our ability, like, okay, this person's going to vote, like, even if the writing is on the wall that early on in the episode or like in a season itself, your vote is, it's the thing in this game that to take away the mystery of it and to take away the, like, I feel like it de-emphasized and took away not agency because their votes still counted, but like it de-emphasized people's votes. And I get that like they're not living it as a television show. Like it still happens obviously chronologically when you're experiencing it. But if I was D and I was watching that back, I'd be like, well, what the hell, man? Like, way to make me look so predictable.
Sure. Okay. I see that completely. But I have to disagree, Justin. You know, it was just like, wow, they're trying something new. That's fun. I couldn't stop saying, is this a first time director that was really trying something new? Or was it like a really seasoned vet that was like, I'm sick of this shit, I'm trying something new. But either way, if they were going to do it, this was the time to do it and the people to do it with, because D was so like, I don't give a fuck, it's Caleb energy, and Caleb had to go Mama J. So I see, totally see what you're saying. In a different situation, I would be saying the same thing. But for now, I'm like, it's fine. I would think Jeff, again, Jeff saying it blew his fucking mind. I'm like, okay, 45 seasons in, you're still getting your mind blown, dog. It's like, come on.
He'd say that about anything at this point. Sorry. Now I'm like piecing it together. Maybe, perhaps the reason that I was dissatisfied with the tribal council is because that particular edit led me down a path of imagination that something really awesome and iconic was going to happen. And it was just a straight vote. Like, I was like, yes, okay, foresight is everything. Let's split the vote. Let's do something risky. Let's be willing to go for rocks and say that I think I know enough about this person's game in Jake's read of Austin being somebody who plays scared, quote unquote, and would be willing to flip. I think, I mean, we'll talk, I can talk about Jake for a whole segment if we need to.
Let's jump right in.
But because of that particular cut coming off of the heels of such an iconic tribal council in episode 6, I was really disappointed with how things actually shook out. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So they really teed up Jake to try and have a big episode for himself. He was trying to take control. I knew Julia's boyfriend was really trying to take control of the game. And listen, he's now in the doghouse. He was on the bad side of the vote in this one, but he's going to be reunited with the other 6 or the other 5 now, I guess, at this point, and it'll be fine for Jake. But I thought this was smart of Caleb. I was like, this is the only play you've got. I am shocked that Keturah didn't go with him. She played safe instead of playing iconic, which is fine. Playing safe is fine. And now she kind of has little allies in the Reba squad. But Caleb was on my draft team, and I thought I would be really, really sad, almost as sad as he was when he got voted out, because he was fucking devastated. Like, he could not, he was gobsmacked. And I really liked Caleb, but I think his story felt finished to me. Like, the shot in the dark was his swan song. I was like, you know, he's gotten more fucking FaceTime on the show than most people get when they win the season. So I'm like, you know what? Let other people have their shot. He played a really good few games. He was, you know, he picked the short straw in every episode. He was put into a team that was just losing, losing, losing. And he did his best. I love him. And now I have, there's no chance I'm going to win the draft, but I'm really okay with Caleb being one of the two going home.
I as well. But don't you think now, kind of circling back to something that we talked about last week, are we now forgetting that this is not for the consumption? I mean, it is for the consumption of us because it is a television show, but like, I feel like in saying like his story is wrapped, his narrative is done, I didn't need any more, is forgetting that he could have won $1 million and he didn't win $1 million.
So true. And I think the way I'm thinking about it is like, well, I'm not winning $1 million, so who fucking cares?
Yeah.
but
on our
but
couches.
I agree. At least Dee mentioned it this episode. That was straight for you. She goes,
did she?
Yeah. She was like, I'm playing for it. That could have been $1 million decision or $1 million
win, you're right,
or something. And I was like, okay, finally, someone fucking mentioned it.
Yeah, thank you. I agree, though, that it's one of those things where, like, if Caleb, if he scraped by and we lost, who was it we were going to lose? Julie?
Mama J, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been sad. I didn't want Mama J to go home.
Me too. Because, and this is why, because she has not gotten an arc. As people sitting here consuming a television show, even though it's a reality television show, we are wanting a satisfying narrative for the season as a whole and for individual players that we care about, right? Mm-hmm. So we care about Mama J, that if she were to go home, it would have been unsatisfying. But it was satisfying, even though we care about Caleb, because his arc has been completed.
Totally.
And that is a credit to the editing and the way that they're constructing the final product of what we get to see on television.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, like, you know, 10,000 foot view, loving how they're doing that, because I am feeling the things and I do feel like a little bit bummed for him, but also satisfied in what we got out of his story.
Yeah.
But within, as we zoom into this specific episode, unsatisfied in the editing choices that they made in that tribal council, like foresight.
Sure. Moment.
So some good choices, some bad choices. Overall, I think the season's like super fun and I'm loving it. I did not give a shit about the Sifu vote and he is in my pool. So I was like, see ya, bye. And what a bummer to not make jury. Like, that's if I were to go on, obviously I'm going on to win $1 million.
Yes.
But like, knowing that it's a 1 in 18 chance, I at least want to make jury. I say I at least want to make merge, and then I at least want to make jury.
I think Caleb will be such a good jury member.
I love it.
Sifu. Sifu didn't have a good take on like anyone, I don't think. Like, Sifu was kind of like just like a Jay. Like, she didn't, they didn't make very many connections. And Sifu seems like a really good guy, but he was playing a weird game and he didn't feel like he fought hard enough for himself in this episode. Like, they said Bruce, and honestly, it should have been Bruce. I would have loved to keep Sifu if that meant blindsiding Bruce with an idol in his pocket. And I don't know. I couldn't care less about the Sifu going home. That's the point. And,
yeah.
And I'm more like, okay, get these people I don't care about out so we can get to I care about every single person that goes home from a certain point. But yeah, the individual immunity portion of the game, although this was had a little twist because it was like two necklaces, two people going home. It's so much funner. It's so much funner when it's an individual game versus a team game. Because
totally.
It was crazy to me that, like, Bruce had said, you know, I had never talked in strategy with Kendra once. And I'm like, well, that there you go. That's what happens when Bello doesn't go to fucking tribal once.
He said she did not talk to me once.
He is.
Again, he's expecting people to come to him and, like, they need to approach me on my throne. I can't. It's not for me. Insufferable.
We didn't do fixations, but
oh my God.
Do you even have one? Because there wasn't any like words or something Jake. Funny. Yeah, I knew yours was going to be Jake. If you,
that's
because
it.
He was like doing it for me this episode as well.
Yeah. But
mine is Bruce saying to Katara, calling her out in front of Reba and then acting like he didn't do it on purpose.
Did he play dumb?
He played so dumb. He was like, oh, when Katara brought it up to him, like an angel. And he was like, oh, you know, man, I always play an honest game. You know, I'm always playing an honest game. I'm like, ew, dude, you are so gaggy, man.
I hate him.
Speaking of Bruce, I just think that Kelly is playing it so right. She is crushing it because Bruce only trusts Kelly, really, and maybe Jake, but Kelly's his number one, and Kelly cannot wait to get him out. But she said,
I love it.
Normally, I don't like it when someone is like, he'll go when I want him to go. But when Kelly said it, I was like, hot.
And I right. could not agree more. I was truly, because I had a problem with this last week. And in my fixation of Bruce being like, I'm calling the shots, I'm in charge. And like, what I say is the word, capital W, the word. Mm-hmm. But Kelly saying it this week, I was like, yes. And maybe it's because we're also in this moment where, and she said it, like, you know, I couldn't be more proud to loot. Like, I love seeing two badass women up here.
Oh, so
we get
good.
we get a little sneaky peeky at maybe next week being an all female alliance. I think maybe I just hate men.
It's so hard not to root for women when they're crushing it in this game. And, you know, we got D and Kelly being the last people up on the challenge. D winning because of her toe. They foreshadowed that so well. I love that.
So good.
Who knows
so
if
good.
It was actually her toe. At some point, she didn't even have her feet on it. She was like holding them up in the air and like her thighs were just crunching the thing. She was beasting it. So was Kelly. It's so hard not to root for that. And it's so weird who I feel like connection with in this show. Because, like, none of the Reba girls I didn't think I was. I always liked Mama J, but I didn't feel, like, connection with them. Whereas, like, I really like Kelly. I always liked Katara. Sabaya was my girl. Emily's my girl. But, like, women over everybody. Really?
So, yeah.
So when we got the next week on and all the girls were like, this is our time to get out boys, I was like, oh, my fuck. Like, am I about to fall in love one by one?
How pristine would that be if they actually, I mean, this is like a every season, if they're not even talking about it, then the men think that they are like they're let's burn all the witches.
Yeah. Exactly.
I totally agree that Kelly feels like a game that I would aspire to have be closely like that. That would be a game I would like to play. It's unfortunate, though. And she said it many times, like, basically, and I have I can't remember the exact word she used, but basically like Bruce is her liability. Like Bruce is the one hindrance to her feeling like she can play this game the way she wants to play it.
Yeah,
it's the worst part of her game. Is that what is what she says? Bruce is the worst part of my game, which is so hilarious because who you align yourselves with in the beginning is pretty happenstance, right? It's like we're on the same beach, we're bellow strong, like yada yada. And then you really have to like either lean in on that and carry that person as far as you possibly can to propel your game, but know the right moment to cut them. And I think Kelly played it very smart. I do think that it was Sifu's week to go. I don't, as much as I would have loved to see Bruce flicked off of this beach, like the little that he is, I think she is correct in that she can continue to use him as a shield. There's a lot of shield talk this week.
I would love to keep talking about shields because the hottest moment, the hottest moment of Jake in this episode was when he finally talks to Keturah and he's like, Caleb is a threat, meaning he's a shield, and he wants to disarm D, so we wanted to get Mama J out. And the way he said it, so matter-of-factly, I was like, slay.
Yes, he had a great episode. Hot. He had a great episode. Here's my moment of Jake hot is first tacos go to D. I love that. I love a gentleman. Yes. I hate men, but I love a gentleman. I also think that he was very wise to, in the moment of tribal council, look Julie in the face and say, Julie, it was me. We can talk. Let's talk.
Yeah.
I thought that was hot.
Yeah, I think.
And just like that's the way, like you're going to have to come to blows with it. Man up and just go like it was me. Let's have a talk when we get back to the beach.
I agree with this. This season is like so funny where everything's out in the open. Nothing's hidden. I think the only things that are hidden is like Austin. No one really knows Austin has that idol. I guess maybe one or two people don't know that Bruce has an idol, but the majority does.
Now they will.
Yeah. Well, even when they were deliberating with their side, Drew was really wanting Bruce. But again, I think he's doing a good job not forcing anything, because once you start forcing your opinion is when people think you're a threat. Drew was talking to Kendra, like, let's talk through this to figure out whether or not they should vote Bruce or they should vote Sifu. And Kendra was saying Sifu at this point because Kelly had changed her mind, because Kelly wants to keep Bruce as a number.
Yeah.
But I don't know that Drew knows that Bruce had an idol. I think that would have changed Drew's conversation, because I think they should have flushed Bruce's idol somehow. Make him.
Kelly, maybe she should have, but she's not playing for flushing an idol. That's near sight. She's playing longer term in that keeping Bruce for the next vote is better for her game individually. Totally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Drew's a very pragmatic player. I think, I don't know, we didn't get a whole lot of Drew content this week, at least from what I recall.
Drew is doing
such a
good
job. And by Drew, I mean Basile.
Basile is doing such a good job at not seeming like a threat when he is. And 100% they could have blindsided Drew out of nowhere this week and it would have been iconic. Like, he's going to be a threat down the line and hard to get out most likely, because I would think Austin could play as idol for Drew. Don't you think? Like, I think that
why,
they're boys.
Why couldn't
enough.
He? Oh, you
no,
think
I'm
he
not
would?
Saying, yes, I'm saying that he has a tight enough alliance where, like, even though Drew himself doesn't have an idol, like, Austin may play it for him.
Yeah, but don't forget Drew, and he did not have the opportunity to play it, but he, because he left it on the other beach, but he still has safety without power.
Yeah.
So if it comes to a point where Austin's like, if you don't feel safe, but I also don't feel safe, you use your safety without power and I'll blame my idol. I hope that doesn't come to that, because it's like, no.
Safety without power is kind of iconic. Like, you're just like, I'm done with this.
See ya.
I'll see you back at the camp. I'm not here.
I'm not participating. Yeah.
I've never seen that being played. I don't know how new that is. I don't know if that's brand new to 45 or if that was on like maybe 42. I didn't see. But I kind of love it. I can't wait to see him play. There's no way he doesn't play it at some point. If his name gets thrown out once, I'm safety without powering. I don't care.
Unless, well, because here's the thing about any advantage is there's power in playing an advantage and playing it correctly. But there is also power in doing the legwork, the strategic work and the social work it takes to not have to play it at all.
Yeah, and that could be a pitch in a final two thing, being like, listen, I know I've been a threat, but I relied on my game and I stayed in every tribal instead of just guaranteeing being safe.
Yep.
Yeah. I wonder, I'll have to look at it. I did not, and we have a podcast, so I should have. I wonder when the last time he can play the safety without power is.
I feel like all those things are like when there's six people left on the beach. I don't know why that feels like six or five.
Yeah.
Feels right.
Yeah. Let's just talk about the immunity in general. So I loved the immunity necklace, three dead birds and some colored feathers. I actually like adored them.
It's the Daku Waku bird.
It's the Kuku Mashua.
It's the Kuku Mashua. What is the name of the tribe?
I think it's Daku Waka. Daku Waka.
There's one U in there. Daku Waka?
I think it's Daku Waka with like a QA at the end.
Yeah, but why? What sound does the QA make that's different from the KA?
A ku and a ka. One's a ku, one's a ka.
Love it.
One time in one season, I can't remember. I feel like it was Micronesia. One of the fans, that was fans versus favorites. So that was like the Parvati blah 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 season versus a set of fans, just random civilians basically. And when they get to the merge, one of the fans said, I really want to name the tribe, because you name your new tribe once you're merged, and he named it something he made up and goes, it means blah 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 in Fijian or whatever, and just lied.
Was Rob Mariano.
No, he must have been Rob Mariano in what season? Was not in the one I watched.
I swear that he did that same thing where he gets to the beach, goes, yeah, Amba and I just made it up.
Oh, that's hot. Well, I didn't watch season 8. You did.
Yeah.
That may be something he stole from Rob and Amba then.
Oh, my God.
Rob and Amba. Oh, we never even said we threw Julia a Survivor-themed surprise party on Saturday, and it was iconic.
It was iconique. It was.
Everyone looked hot in their buffs.
Everybody looked so sexy in their buffs.
It was amazing.
That's why it was the best.
That's why the episode dropped late, because I was supposed to wake up on Saturday and post it and finish editing and posting it. But I woke up and was doing arts and crafts instead.
I know. Kathleen made me such great arts and crafts. We had buffs for everybody. I walked up and there were tiki torches outside of our house. I got
big Survivor banner.
Big Survivor banner. I got a heart cut out with my two favorite Boston guys. Boston Rob and Boston Jake is now Boston Jake to me. We got
Naked
Jeff Probst poster. And then we got another Boston Rob. What would you call that meme?
What meme? Oh, the meme is the like jealousy meme where like the guy is like turned around being like, ooh, to another girl. And then his girlfriend's behind him being like, oh, like, so I put her husband on the girl and Boston Rob on the other girl. And Julia's head turning. I can post these on our Twitter.
Yeah.
If you want to see at Bingetown TV, you can see them.
The icing on top was that I found a beware advantage at my birthday party.
So I did a beware advantage with a few clues, and I hid it in her bedside table while we were decorating, thinking she'll find it the next day. I'll tell her to look for it. And in the middle of the party, she comes down and lifts her shirt, and it's in her pants. The beware advantage.
Mm-hmm. I found it and I only told my allies.
Yes.
And then we voted somebody out at the end of the party.
We did. We had paper and I made a stupid ass pen that was gigantic. And
you dressed as Jeff. It was a fishing. We did Survivor drag.
Yeah, we did what these people wish they could do.
I know.
Okay, back to it. So the immunity challenge, we already really talked about it, but I just liked that we're finally getting immunity, reward. We get to watch people eat tacos. And then
you're obsessed with watching them eat.
I love watching them eat. Like, they're savages. They look so crazy eating. And I don't, sometimes, you know, sometimes I'll be at dinner with people or like at lunch or whatever, if I'm eating with people, and I'll realize I had blacked out the entire time that I was eating, and I could have looked like an absolute monster. And I'll be like, I wonder if anyone was watching me.
Oh, I thought you were going to say sometimes I realized that I just didn't eat anything off my plate and just watched the other person eat.
No. I realized that I don't look at anything except the food and
the food in front of me,
shoveling it into my throat. And then I'm like, that couldn't have been gorgeous.
Right. We eat like it's going to get taken away.
Yeah, exactly. I just liked it. I liked the twist that one wouldn't make it to jury. I thought that was awesome. Cool. That like was real. That felt like real stakes. Like
that's okay. Insult to injury. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, Kelly and Dee, like we've seen it last season where Franny had. I'm pretty sure Matt goes home at that point. I think he's the first juror. And
yes, correct.
Matt was on the other team and Franny held out, meaning that whatever it was, if Franny held out, then Matt wouldn't have been.
It was that she was safe regardless. So she could have fallen before the other team's winner fell, had her still be safe and had Matt not go to tribal council, because it was different in that.
Yes, only those six went to tribal
correct
council. Yeah, and correct. And then he's like, did you bring my bag? And she's like, no, dude.
And then he's like, I have a papaya.
Oh, terrible. God, Christ. Anyway, yeah, so Tacos and Bubbles was the reward. We got to see the girlies take it home. It's like a classic Parvati challenge beast. I can just picture her in Heroes Villains crushing it with her girl. And I can't
that was the one where they're standing upright, though.
Well, they could have
all
been
these people were like tree hugging. The Parvati one, she's like, she's just standing on a foothold.
Yeah, she's fucking beast and she's hot.
Yeah, of course. But I don't know.
I
if
think
it was
they
the
could have done
same
that. I think they could have done that, too.
No way.
No one said you had to hug the tree. I feel like they all just decided to do that. Right.
Maybe. I don't know. Now I got to go back and watch that entire season.
Yeah, me too. I fucking loved Heroes Villains. It's so good.
I felt like when we did the team split that I was never going to be interested, worried, concerned, stressed, impressed, entertained, all of the above by the Kelly team going to tribal. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, so that is Drew, Emily, Kendra, Bruce, Sifu, and Kelly.
Yeah. That felt like it felt like, okay, Sifu, maybe Bruce might go home. And this is not interesting to me. When I looked at the other team,
yeah,
the D winning team, I went, I want none of these people to go home.
Sure. And that's how it shakes out sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Same as last week. It's like Sifu couldn't have gone home. Bruce couldn't have gone home. These are people we want to go home. So you're just kind of like, fuck, you know?
It's so interesting because you think of like when they split into teams, you go, oh, yeah, I've got a really strong team. We're going to beat the other team. But then you go, oh, but I have to compete against them. Like as soon as Jeff said that, I was like, oh, shit, that's who you're up against.
Yeah.
Or more so really than, well, maybe not more so, but I don't know. What do you think? What would you rather have a weak team and win it, but have your tribe lose, or look around at your team and go, we're winning this for sure, but I might be the weakest one in this team?
Oh, I want to win and lose. I don't care. Skip the taco for the day. Give me the necklace.
You want to Kelly it.
Yeah. I mean, Kelly gets to go home and play just straight. All right. Talk to me. What do we got? Yeah. What are we doing?
Office but hours.
She's playing a great game. And I just like you said that you wish you would play a Kelly game. I said that a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
Kelly is the game you want to play. She's low key. She shouldn't win too many because it seems like they said to Dee this episode, like, oh, you're a threat now. Like you win and
shouldn't win too many is stupid to me, though, because win all of them. Win all of them.
Well, that's how I felt about
You pump the brakes, you pull back. Like I know Franny went in and was like winning a bunch, but like if you win a bunch, if you win all, then you're safe for everything you win.
Okay. But that's what I
maybe reward different.
I don't want to, no spoilers on this, but for 43, the girl that was in the final tribal should have won the whole thing. And she was a challenge beast. Who won 43?
Yeah.
We're not saying it, but come on. You think the winner of 43 should have been the winner of 43 that's out of control?
No.
I would have been happy with the other two people that were in the final
Me too.
Three. I mean, he was doing it for a good cause, I guess, with the money, the $1 million.
Yeah, but that wasn't even revealed until it already happened. It was like going, by the way.
I know. Right? I know.
Whatever. Yeah.
I just think that like sometimes, I don't know, people just really need to pitch themselves better at Final Tribal. I know we don't see every ounce of it, but Are you ever going to watch Micronesia? Because one of the most iconic things ever happened. You have to watch it. One of the most iconic things happened in the tribal, final tribal. One of the questions asked by the jury, me and Alex, gasped. Like we were holding each other's arms like, that didn't just happen. No fucking way. And Micronesia is so fucking good. It's so fucking good. I love Micronesia.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here so I can go watch Micronesia.
Okay, perfect. So I don't really have much. Anything.
Just kidding. I didn't mean that. But
no, I really don't have much else besides. Like,
let me look at my
notes. I love women. Big girl slay. We're going to have a big girl slay next week. Caleb was just devastated when he lost. Like the way he took that beat, I was like, oh, that hurts.
I know.
But, you know, we'll get to see his smiling face and he'll be well fed and showered every week at Tribal.
I know. I can't wait to see him next week. We still get to see him in his perfect smile.
The auction is back.
That's kind of cool.
You think they're going to do any sort of twist? Because I feel like they got rid of the auction because survivors were realizing like, oh, I'm just going to save all my money and bid for the end because you need all your money really to like get the idol or the advantage at the end. That's like why they got rid of the auction, I think, because it was getting predictable.
Yeah.
Do you think that, well, okay, so the first season Julia and I had ever watched was Cagayan, and they had a great auction, like that we had never seen it before. So I remember loving the auction, everyone eating these, just like, I love watching people eat. And so them just like slamming shit, like after paying $40 for like a handful of marshmallows.
Piece of popcorn. Yeah.
I'm like, yes. I feel like, who was it that was, I can't remember anyone.
I'm thinking of Cass eating something stupid. Wait, no, I'm thinking of Jeffra.
Jeffra, that's who it is. The Blake Lively lookalike.
Blake Lively.
Yes, that's
poor
exactly
poor man's Blake Lively.
Oh my God, I love that. No,
but still, like,
I think she's the rich man's
Blake. I was going to say, but still more expensive than I could afford. So,
all right. We love you, Jeffra. Did your notes tell you anything?
The only other thing that I have to say is Jake related. And it is, there was like a cut. It's really unimportant, but I'm just going to tell you because we're all here. Did you notice the cut where like everyone's on the beach and I forget who's talking about Jake, but they cut over to Jake and he is wearing one shoe. He's wearing like a loafer.
No.
Okay. He's wearing one shoe and he's stumbling down the beach. And I was like, if this man falls down and twerks again, I'll lose my shit. I literally thought he was falling. I thought they were cutting to a shot of him saying like, oh, and, you know, Jake's a threat. And they cut to Jake. He's wearing one shoe on the beach and just like fainting. But it wasn't. It was just like a very, very strangely selected, hand selected cut of Jake
being disheveled.
I'm going to rewatch it and I'll send you a clip and we can add it to all the thing. We can add it to my party.
Okay.
My party post.
Twitter, Jesus Christ. Last week.
Were you going to call me Twitter? You thought my name was Twitter?
No, I was saying like, you were like, oh, add it to the post on Twitter in my brain. And then I just said Twitter out loud. So, last week when Jake was like getting the mud off him after the losing challenge, he was like stumbling out of the water. I was like, no, stop, stop. Like I was concerned he was eating sand. I was concerned.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to walk on sand, but
never has done it. He's from Boston. Never. How could he?
How could he? And that's what I love most about him.
I know. All right. That's all we got, huh? We're going to end it because we are in just like 10 feet away from each other in a different room on Zoom. So we want to hang out.
We want to hang out. I am just taking one quick little pass. Dumu Mashua, Taku Makuka, Dushu Makaka. Those are my
Aku
notes.
And a ka.
Aku and a ka. And I think that's the perfect place to quit.
I think that's beautiful. Okay. That's the episode. We'll be back for episode 8. We'll be here for the auction. We cannot wait. Maybe Jeff has something up his little tiny baby sleeve. We got Rinch Down TV. And thanks for listening.
Pour one out for Four Steps Down.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.